In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our spiritual master, St. Francis de Sales, in the course of his writings, presents for our imitation the illustrious virtues to be found on Calvary. On the branches of the cross, we find the virtues of obedience, poverty, and chastity. From the pierced heart of our Savior, we find pouring forth the virtue of charity. With this entire edifice of sanctity, our whole program for holiness would find no place at all on that sacred mount, were the fourth branch not buried in the fertile ground of humility. Today's Mass invites us to consider two virtues especially from the school of Calvary, the greatest and the lowliest. Humility is not the greatest virtue. As St. Paul reminds us, the greatest virtue is charity. It would rather go against the very nature of humility to be the greatest virtue. No, humility is content to be numbered among the little virtues which are so necessary to our success in the spiritual combat. But St. Francis de Sales reminds us that although charity is the greatest virtue, for it is divine, humility is the greatest human virtue. The word humility comes from the Latin humus, dirt or clay, which astonishingly is also the origin of the word homo, which means man. Apparently, even the pagan Romans knew that having humility means being mindful of the fact that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Humility might be called everyone's favorite virtue. And by that I do not mean that humility is the virtue which you and I most enjoy practicing. I mean it is the virtue we most eagerly wish to see in others. One of the effects of being prideful is that the prideful man has a keen awareness of the slightest ounce of pride in others, although he may rashly judge them to be far more prideful than they really are. Whatever his neighbor's apparent virtues may be, he was always thinking, yes, but ruffle his pride a bit, and you will see what a temper he really has. We know this from the words of the proudest creature in the universe, the devil himself. During this month of September, the Church in her divine office has read from the book of Job. Satan insists before God that holy Job is only a false saint. Stop coddling him, he says. Take away all his comforts, and you'll see him curse you to your face just as I do. The devil turns out to be very wrong about Job. But the episode affords us an opportunity to examine our own conscience. How often do we find, upon an honest examination, that we have been doing good only in the hopes of receiving recognition? Is our goal in our daily actions to be good and please God, or to be known as good and honored among men? Pride is defined by St. Thomas Aquinas as an excessive love of one's own excellence. If we look at it that way, pride doesn't seem so impossible to conquer. Our Lord said, love thy neighbor as thyself. The proud, at least in heart, says to everyone, love me as I love myself. Now, loving yourself is normal and healthy. Our Lord came not to abolish, but to fulfill. Grace does not destroy our human nature, it builds on it. You should love yourself because you are a creature of God, and God only creates good things. The psalmist says, I will praise thee, O Lord, for I am wondrously made. And the Blessed Virgin Mary sings, he that is mighty hath done great things to me. Many of you pray the Litany of Humility composed by the Holy Cardinal Del Valle, we note that in this prayer, we do not ask our Lord to make us despised, rejected, slandered, forgotten. Rather, we ask him to deliver us from the desire of being esteemed, loved, and honored, and from the fear of being slandered, despised, and forgotten. We do not ask the host to give us the last place. It is up to him if he wants to tell us, "Friend, go up higher." But we do ask him for the grace to desire the lowest place. And as far as holiness, you cannot ask God to make others holier than you unless you first ask him to make you as great a saint as he wants you to be. Although you should love yourself, however, you should not be in love with yourself. This human desire, like all others, has its reasonable limits. We notice right away when someone else is consumed with pride. Why can't we ever get our own pride under control? The truth is that we can't make ourselves humble. As we hear in that litany of humility, humiliations come from outside, being belittled by others. And the humiliations we receive from others are often the only thing that opens our eyes to the presence of grace in our lives. Consider the truth about how our salvation is worked out. Without grace, we could not have taken even the first tiny step toward God. It is only by the grace of Christ that our soul can ever, at any time, be found pleasing to God. And it is only by Christ's continual knocking at the door that we are able to perform the slightest act that leads us closer to heaven. Finally, consider the awful truth that the most treasured grace of all, the one on which our salvation ultimately depends, the grace of final perseverance, is a free gift of God, which we can never earn or secure by our own devices. "Without me, you can do nothing," says our Savior. Only pride can blind us to this truth, which is why, more than any other vice, it is our one-way ticket to destruction. We normally look on those who humble us as our fiercest enemies. But our Lord tells us to love our enemies. And what enemies should we love more than these? These insolent foes who dare to offend our pride by questioning our greatness, pointing out our flaws, challenging us to do better. One day we will kiss their feet and say, "Thank you for saving me from myself. Thanks to you, my pride was laid low. And I can now hear those sweet words of our divine host, 'Friend, go up higher. Enter into the joy of thy Lord.'" We do not have to wait until the end of the world for this encounter. We should already pray for those who persecute us, not only for tyrannical governments and open enemies of our faith, but for people right here in our daily lives, members of our own household of faith, who simply rub us the wrong way, whom we find difficult to be friends with. We do not know the heart of anyone else here. Our pride often makes us short-sighted. What we do know is that none of our hearts can ever be filled except by the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. To his most sacred heart be all honor and glory forever. Amen.